Beloved, Christ is in our midst. For this gospel of this second Sunday of Lent, when we remember St. Gregory Palamas, the Archbishop of Thessaloniki, we hear St. Mark's gospel and the healing of the paralyzed man. And for today, I'd like us just to take a look, a point of view, from three of the groups in this gospel. The first point of view being the paralyzed man. Imagine his life in an age before there was automation, automated wheelchairs, hospital beds. This man was paralyzed. He had to rely on everyone for everything, even for him to live, for food and drink, not to mention everything else. He could do nothing for himself. And perhaps he felt embarrassed and ashamed at times at the way people had to take care of him, what they had to do for him. And he couldn't do anything in return. He couldn't do anything for himself, let alone for anyone else. And he, this paralyzed man, can't even bring himself to Jesus, but rather the next group, his friends. His friends who bring him to Jesus, who is not outside teaching a great throng, but in a house that is so full of people, it says they couldn't even get in at the door. And what love and faith these friends had, because they did not give up. They didn't tell their friend, sorry, we can't get in to see Jesus today. It's too crowded. There's no way you're going to see him. Rather, they do something extraordinary, motivated by their love and their faith in Jesus. They go up on the roof. And they open the roof of the house. Imagine Jesus in the house, and all of a sudden light starts coming in at the roof because people are tearing it apart. They're tearing apart the roof in order to place before Jesus their beloved friend who can do nothing for himself physically. And so they lower him to Jesus, placing him at Jesus' feet. And third, we have Jesus himself, who sees it all and knows more than even the paralyzed man or his friends or the scribes who think that Jesus is blaspheming by what he's going to do. For Jesus sees past the physical illness and he diagnoses the spiritual illness. The spiritual illness of the paralyzed man. And where we might think he'll say, rise and walk first, Jesus says, son, your sins are forgiven you. Remember elsewhere, Jesus tells us, do not fear him who can kill the body, but him who can kill the soul. And Jesus sees the sickness in the man's soul and gives him healing, forgiveness of his sins, washing them away. And it says he does so because he sees the man's friends. Jesus didn't even ask anything of the paralyzed man. He didn't say, are you sorry for your sins? He knew the man was suffering, not only physically, but spiritually. He didn't ask anything of him, but St. Mark tells us, he saw the faith of those who brought him, the love of the man's friends who bring him to Jesus, a love that will not be overcome even by the physical structure of a house, of a roof, that they will do whatever it takes and not leaving it undone for their friend to come to Jesus. And so Jesus first heals the man's soul. He forgives his sins. And then he heals his body, which is a physical manifestation for the scribes to see, for us to see, that not only can Jesus heal the body, but clearly he heals the soul as the physician of souls and bodies, as he's called in so many prayers. And in that order, he's not called the physician of bodies and souls. He's called the physician of souls and bodies, because what we do with our soul affects our bodies and vice versa. What we do with our body affects our soul, the good things and the bad. If we're honest with ourselves, we know that there are times in our life, and maybe even now, that we're paralyzed in sin. Maybe it's the same sin we commit over and over, and we're ashamed and embarrassed to confess it. We wonder how God could love us when we keep trampling on his love by these same sins we commit. And we must keep in mind what Jesus sees, that we don't simply see with the eyes of the paralyzed man who's probably in some sort of despair about his condition, but with the eyes of Christ, who sees through all of it and sees his own image in us, worthy of laying down his life to save us, to wash away our sin, our shame, our guilt, to take it away so that we know only him and we run to him as we would run to our mother, to our father, to be wrapped up in their embrace, regardless of what we have done, to come to him, to be received by him and wrapped up in him, in his love. And we can also be like the friends of this paralyzed man. When we know someone or people who are suffering, whether it's physical, spiritual, emotional, and we raise up their name to God in prayer, then we are like those friends who will let nothing stand in between our love for those who are suffering and are coming before Christ to offer intercession, whether it is by prayer, whether it is by writing their name, asking them to be remembered when the bread is prepared before the Holy Liturgy, whether it's a phone call, a card, a visit, that we can be like those friends in love and faith, so that no one is left hanging without someone to be interceding for them, to be there for them, as these friends were there for the paralyzed man. And finally, we are called to be like Christ. Christ, who sees through any affliction, who sees through any sin. And what he sees is his own divine image with which he himself has created us, so that he can look to see himself in others. That is what we are to do. Look to see him in others, as he saw himself, his wounded image, in that paralyzed man, as he saw himself, his own love, in those friends who left nothing undone so that their friend could come before Jesus, so that we too can see and know ourselves as being made in Christ's image. For we will scarcely be able to see Christ in others if we do not know him living in us, if we do not know him in ourselves. And this journey through Lent, this journey through our life, is to be one of constantly uncovering his image in us, so that we know him in us. And knowing him in us, we know him in others. We see him in others. Even those who might do things that annoy us, say things that get on our nerves, do something that might hurt us, that we can look to see him in them. Because, beloved, though we commit the same sins again and again, though we may feel ashamed by them or embarrassed, Christ sees himself in us regardless. He sees through it all. He sees something worthy of his love, worthy of his own dying, so that he can raise us up with himself, so that he can bring healing to us, as he brought healing to the paralyzed man in the gospel, so that he can gather us, as he says in one beautiful gospel passage, as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings. That's how he wants to gather us to himself, to shelter us in the shadow of his wings, as Psalm 90 tells us. Let us look to see one another with Christ's eyes. Look upon those who are suffering with the eyes of Christ. And importantly, though we know ourselves as his servants, let us look at ourselves to see him in us.